You are listening to a previously recorded broadcast.
I've got some life-changing insights from the book of Jeremiah. I want to share them with you today, right here from Hong Kong.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, welcome back to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Thanks so much for your prayer support, for standing with me here in Hong Kong. I'm having just a wonderful time teaching these Chinese students from the mainland, ranging from 25 years to 55 years of age. Actually, some more young people than I expected in the class, but we're having a wonderful time. I've been in tears, some of the teaching, just pouring my heart out from the book of Jeremiah, and these students have been right with me. I'll have a lot more to share as the week goes on. But listen, I'm not taking calls today, but I have something free I want to send out to every one of you. I've never done this for an entire week, but we'll do this every day this week. So write this very important number down, 1-800-278-9978. And try to call through the hour. We've got extra helpers on our phone lines ready to take your calls. But write this number down, 1-800-278-9978. The most important message I've ever preached in my life is based on one Hebrew word, acharit. And in this message, I open up the meaning of this word and the spiritual significance of it. And friends, literally, it has meant the difference between life and death for believers around the world. I have literally had this happen. I just said literally twice in a few words. I mean it. I've had this happen to me. I've preached in another country and brought this message and shared the Hebrew word, acharit, in the midst of this message and then laid out the message. I did it briefly here in the context of teaching Jeremiah yesterday and immediately got the attention of the students as I opened up the spiritual truth. And I've taught it in another country. And I've come back to that country 10 years or 20 years later, and someone will come up to me that heard that message, and they'll look at me with a smile. That we don't speak the same language, but they'll say, acharit. They still remember the Hebrew word. I want to send this to you on a CD absolutely free, and we'll pay the postage. I was praying about what to do while in Hong Kong, and I felt to do this. We're going to be doing this every day through the week, but do your best to get through. Call 1-800-278-9978, and we'll send this to you on a CD, which means you can listen to it in your car or on your computer or download it for your MP3 player. If you can help with a contribution, wonderful. Feel prompted to do it, great. But I'm sending out free. I want every one of you to get hold of this. Don't tell me if you believe in it, send it out free. I'm doing that, okay? Free, postage paid, no strings attached. 1-800-278-9978. A message that might just change your life forever. What I want to do on the broadcast today, rather than take calls and interact on things happening in the news and so on, or different biblical questions, I want to focus on the book of Jeremiah. That's what I'm teaching this week. We've covered 20 chapters of Jeremiah so far. And I want to give you words of encouragement from the book of Jeremiah, things to strengthen you. But think of it. Jeremiah is called as a young man, a youth, the Hebrew na'ar. It's hard to define with precision what his age was. I rather picture him as a teenager, perhaps even a younger teenager. And for 40 years, he had to prophesy doom and gloom and judgment. And because the people wouldn't repent of their sin, God told him, you can't even intercede for them anymore at a certain point in his ministry. Judgment's coming. And he gave him promises of wonderful things for the future, even the new covenant prophecy. But he didn't live to see the positive. Only the judgments come. For 40 years, I believe he was a sensitive man of sensitive conscience, yet he never backed down. There's some lessons from Jeremiah for us right here.
Change the world. You are listening to a previously recorded broadcast.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to this special broadcast from Hong Kong. Michael Brown, so pleased to be with you, just having a wonderful time teaching Chinese students from the mainland here in China. I can't post pictures of the students on Facebook or different websites for obvious reasons, but we're having a wonderful time together. We took a picture today, and then they asked me to sit down with them, and now they're not as small as Japanese per capita from what I can see. Japanese seem to be smaller than Koreans and Chinese. But I guess I'm a lot bigger than I realized, because in the picture of sitting with the students, I'm a whole lot bigger. But anyway, you can picture it. You can smile. Thank you for praying. And I'm broadcasting from Hong Kong, teaching on Jeremiah this week. And I want to share with you insights from the book of Jeremiah that will change your life, impact you. But I'm not taking calls. However, I want to encourage every one of you to call this number, and then if you put on hold, just stay there or call back as you have the opportunity. 1-800-278-9978. I'm sending out for free on CD to listen to in your car or on your computer or for your MP3 player a message from one Hebrew word in the Old Testament that changed my life when I discovered it decades ago. I've preached this message around the world. Others have heard it and gone and preached the same message based on these truths. And I have had people tell me literally it saved their lives. It was the difference between life and death. It kept them from a serious fall. It gave them the strength to obey the Lord. So you don't need to know any details. Just call and ask for the free CD. 1-800-278-9978. Those who feel prompted to help with a donation, wonderful. That would be great. We appreciate it. But I want everyone to call. We're sending this out free and postage paid, 1-800-278-9978. So here's my daily schedule. On a day when I'm doing live radio, I have to get up about 2-something in the morning, and then we do the show from 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. Then I leave the hotel at 7:40 in the morning. It's about a 10-minute taxi ride over to the seminary, and I have to stay over at a hotel rather than at the seminary because of constraints with doing radio and the setup that we need and everything. Then chapel is from 8 to 8:50. I preached yesterday morning, another one of the profs this morning, another prof tomorrow morning, and then the next days we'll be hearing testimonies from the Chinese pastors and leaders that are there. Then I do 3 morning sessions, so 9 to 9:50, 10-minute break, 10 to 10:50, 10-minute break, 11 to 12, and then there's a break for lunch and rest, and then we resume again at 3, 3 to 3:50, 4 to 4:50, 5 to 6. So about 6 hours of teaching a day, but with translation and with hungry hearts and with so much amazing material in Jeremiah, it goes pretty quickly. So here's what it sounds like. With my interpreter, Chinese interpreter, she's got a very solid theological background. In fact, she speaks proper sounding English, and she studied in Scotland. Her English accent is nicer than mine, so she's doing an awesome job. But this is what it sounds like. You'll hear her, then I'm reading a scripture, and she's reading the scripture after me. Why should you be like a man confused, like a mighty warrior who cannot save? You, O Lord, are in the midst of us, and we are called by your name. Do not leave us. Okay, not like amazingly exciting material. Well, it's wonderful scripture, but it doesn't give you a full feel of what's going on. I'm going to try to remember at our next chapel service to bring my recording device with me and get some of the singing and get some of the responsive reading. That'll just give you a little more feel of the atmosphere here. But I've got to at least play something with a translator from the country where I am, right? So Jeremiah, he's called to prophesy as a young man. My guess is a teenager, a young teenager, but we honestly cannot know with precision. But here's why I say he was a teenager, maybe even a young teenager. He protests when God calls him in Jeremiah 1. He says, I'm just a na'ar. Now, the Hebrew word na'ar can refer to a baby. Moses is called a na'ar, just as a baby. Or it can refer to a servant who's going to be in battle. You know, one of David's men, for example, can be referred to as a na'ar. So you really don't know. It can be used for a grown man. It can be used for a baby. But it basically means youth. Now, why do I think Jeremiah may have been a young teenager, certainly a teenager? Well, it would be customary in ancient Israelite world to marry fairly young, and yet God tells him after his calling in Jeremiah 16, and I don't know how many years after the calling because there's no date on it, God tells him in Jeremiah 16 he's not to marry or have children. So he was called when he was still single, and he protests, I'm just a na'ar. I don't know how to speak. And God says, look, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to put my words in your mouth, and you're going to speak on my behalf. So we don't know his exact age, but fairly young. My guess is, I say, teenager, even young teenager. And he prophesies for over 40 years. He begins prophesying in the year 627 BC. That's when he receives his calling. And the temple in Jerusalem falls in 586, so that's roughly 41 years later. And then he prophesies after that, but 40 solid years with a difficult, painful message. And as I studied the book and wrote my commentary on Jeremiah, I felt that he was a man of sensitive conscience. You know, there's some people kind of like, you know, redneck, rough and tumble, and, you know, bring it on, man, bring it on kind of thing. Go ahead, devil, let's see how tough you are. I don't take it that Jeremiah was like that. Because sometimes when he'd have to bring message of judgment and judgment and more judgment and worse judgment, it shattered him. It was very painful for him. And when after being faithful to the Lord, he received heavy persecution and his close friends turned on him and his own family wanted to kill him. And then he's resisted by the religious establishment and the political establishment and the populace as a whole. It shattered him sometimes. It was more than he could take. And he took refuge in God. And yet through all this, he never backed down. Why is this important for us to know? Because some of you are not made for confrontation, say, the way I am. I'm not a pastor. God hasn't gifted me to be a pastor. I do have love for God's people and for the world. I've been a spiritual father by God's grace to a good number of people. But I'm really not a pastor. I wouldn't make a good pastor. I've been really... Now, pastors have to deal with conflict as well. But if you're going to put me in a category to be more like a prophetic confronter on the front lines, taking on the enemy and built for conflict and controversy, I'm made for that more than being the gentle, tender shepherd that says, oh, Sister Sally's not having a good day. Let's go over and visit her and see how she's doing. I'm not made like that. Some years ago, I was with one of my friends. He's a man of prayer. He loves the Lord, and he speaks boldly for righteousness. And we were both being attacked at the same time. And I was telling him with a smile about these attacks and how we're being slandered. To me, it was an honor and a joy. To me, to be maligned and misrepresented for the gospel was a joy, and it actually encouraged me to keep on keeping on. But I saw as I shared it with him, it was hurting him. It was painful. In other words, even though he stood the same way I stood, and he spoke the same way I spoke, he did it with a certain pain. He was of much more sensitive conscience than I was. And it hurt him to be attacked like this. I think Jeremiah was more like that. I think Jeremiah was more one who felt a deeper pain and agony over these words that he was bringing. Now, obviously, any of us bringing words of judgment and destruction and saying how children are going to be killed and mothers and fathers are going to be killed by the Babylonians in judgment, that would shatter any of us. But I feel like Jeremiah was a very sensitive soul. And yet God said, I'm going to make you. I'm going to make you like a fortified city, like a pillar of bronze, iron wall. I mean, I'm going to make you unconquerable. God can do that. God can be the courage. God can be the backbone, no matter how meek and timid you are. He can be the strength of your life, friends. Don't make excuses. I can't this and that. Let that be the source of your strength. I can't. He can. My God is my strength. All right, I've got so much more to share with you, but call this number right now to get the free CD, the Acharit CD, the Hebrew word that'll change your life. 1-800-278-9978. We'll send it out free and postage paid on CD. 1-800-278-9978. Take advantage of this today. We want to get this in your hands.
You are listening to a previously recorded broadcast.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire. My personal welcome from Hong Kong, where I'm teaching 7 straight days, on average 6 hours a day, these precious students from mainland China. I can't say more about who they are, what they're doing, for obvious reasons, but having a wonderful time with them. In fact, should be tomorrow, I'll get to spend more time just kind of in an informal setting over a meal, hearing more of their stories, interacting more. But I tell you, I can really go deep in the teaching. They're smiling, they're laughing, things that bring joy, we're laughing together. Interesting life stories. They're laughing with me and smiling with me. And then they're serious and they're focused. And I've been teaching in tears some of the classes, and they have been right with me. In other words, I can go deep with them. They are serious about God and the things of God. And what an honor to pour into these precious Chinese saints, leaders, and those in other aspects of life and ministry. But I'm not taking your calls today. Please write down this number, and then whenever you have a break, call during the hour, 1-800-278-9978. Just ask for the free CD. We're sending out the most important message I've ever preached in my life on the Hebrew word Acharit, and give you insight, open up some spiritual insight for you that literally could change your life forever and honestly could be the difference between life and death, success and failure, and life and ministry. This one simple truth from the Hebrew Scriptures. 1-800-278-9978. We're making it available free and postage paid. And not just today, every day this week. That's how much I want to see every one of you get it. The more thousands of these that we send out at our expense, the more joy we will have in our office. Any of you that can help with a contribution, wonderful. But everyone call. Don't feel guilty. I want you to get this, okay? Free. Postage paid, 1-800-278-9978. Look at what God says to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1. After this young man, Jeremiah, protests and who am I and so on, I don't know how to speak. God says, he touches his mouth, puts out his hand, touches his mouth, and God says to him in verse 9 of chapter 1, behold, I've put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Now, let's understand this, and then let's make application to our own lives. Jeremiah is just a young guy. There are plenty of older prophets, older priests. You've got the king, who's a godly king, Josiah. You've got princes. You've got the political establishment, the religious establishment. You've got the wise men in the society, all these people. Who's Jeremiah? But you have to understand, he could have been 90 years old. He could have been the most educated, wise, and brilliant person in his society, and he could have all the esteem of the nation. But when God speaks through him, whether he's 15 or 90, it's still God's word being spoken through him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Of course, our character is important. Our reputation is important. Of course, I understand that. And we are to be above reproach and in society. Yeah, I understand that. But what I'm saying here is God put his words in Jeremiah's mouth. When Jeremiah spoke, he would use phrases like, Ko Amar Adonai. In King James, thus saith the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Ne'um Adonai, utterance of the Lord. He would say it before he spoke, after he spoke, reinforced over and over and over. These are not my words. This is what God is saying. That's why God says, see, I've set you this day over nations and over kingdoms. Set you? Who? You? Who am I? Just a kid. No. You're speaking my words. You're speaking my words. Now, how does that apply to us today? Here's how it applies to every single believer. We are God's ambassadors. We are God's witnesses. We are speaking his message. When we call people to repent and believe, when we quote scripture, when we give them the message of the gospel, we could have the whole Bible memorized in Hebrew and Greek, or we could be 3 days old in the Lord, but we are reading God's words. We are speaking God's words. We are God's ambassadors. And therefore, we can speak with his authority. I don't mean that we command people, I'm telling you, that, or we play God. No, I'm saying, let's take seriously the fact that we are carrying this precious treasure of the Word of God. That we are the ones telling the world who Jesus is and bringing this message of life and forgiveness and the call to repent and believe through the gospel. It's sacred. And as God gives this word to Jeremiah and gives him visions on the very first day of his calling, he says this in verse 17. The Hebrew is emphatic. The beginning of the verse is very emphatic. He says, but you, Jeremiah, as for you, you dress yourself for work, gird up your loins, roll up that outer garment and tuck it in so that you can run and work. Get ready, prepare yourself, arise, and say to them everything that I command you. Do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. And I, on my behalf, the Hebrew is very emphatic, beginning of verse 17, beginning of verse 18. As for you, Jeremiah, you do this. You be responsible, you be faithful, you be obedient. As for me, here's what I'm going to do for you. You see, this is what God's saying. Jeremiah, you have your responsibility, but I'm going to back you. Pastors, leaders, teachers, preachers, each of you, my dear friends, listening as I speak to you from Hong Kong in the midst of a very sacred week teaching these precious Chinese leaders from the mainland, I want to encourage you, you be faithful to do what God's called you to do. You be obedient, and he'll back you. He'll back you. And he says this to Jeremiah, behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, declares the Lord to deliver you. Wow. I want to encourage you again, whoever you are, however difficult your calling, it's not as rough as Jeremiah's 40 years prophesying doom and gloom with the priests against him, the prophets against him, the princes against him, and after Josiah, the ungodly kings against him, his own family and friends against him, yet he never backed down. He always stood strong, and God ultimately vindicated every one of his words, and he's the one who brings the glorious prophecy of the new covenant. Stand firm. I'm speaking to some of you on the front lines of righteousness and standing in, as lawyers, standing as teachers, standing as parents, standing as pastors. Stand firm and God will be your strength. And then every one of you, call this number as soon as you have a moment, 1-800-278-9978. Tell all your friends, post it on Facebook, email them, 1-800-278-9978. All this week we're sending out free, the most important message I ever preached, spiritual insights from one Hebrew word that'll change your life. We're sending it out on CD to listen to in your car, your computer MP3 player, 1-800-278-9978. Find out about the word Acharit and how it might just save your life. 1-800-278-9978.
You are listening to a previously recorded broadcast.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, coming your way from Hong Kong. And as I'm teaching Jeremiah this week, we finished 20 chapters so far, diving in, plumbing the depths of the book, understanding the heart of the prophet, the experience, the life of the prophet. As we've been doing that, I wanted to do a special broadcast. Maybe I'll do more this week, but certainly today, just focused on Jeremiah, insights from the book of Jeremiah. I'm not taking calls, but I want every one of you to write this number down. We are giving away a free CD. I'd be happy if you called 1,000 people and told them to call this number. Free, postage paid, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. The most important message I've ever preached in my life. I've literally preached this around the world, and people around the world remember it years later. It's based on one Hebrew word, Acharit, that will just blow your mind when you understand what it means, and it'll give you a spiritual insight that may be the very thing you need to keep you on the right path, to strengthen you to be holy, to save you in a day of temptation and trouble. I'm not exaggerating, and that's why we're sending it out free. This entire week we're doing it, so tell your friends to call the number, 1-800-278-9978. If you can't get through immediately, keep trying to call. Call through the week, and one per person, of course, 1-800-278-9978. And listen, this is to listen to in your car as you're driving, or on your computer, or your MP3 player. The prophet Jeremiah begins prophesying in the 13th year of King Josiah, which would be 627 B.C. The temple in Jerusalem was destroyed in 586 B.C., and he continues prophesying some years after that. We don't know how long, but over 40 years of faithfulness. And sometimes he would reach a breaking point. And when he came to these breaking points, it could be a combination of things. It could be just the agony of bringing such painful prophetic words year in, year out, year in, year out, year in, year out. Dire, dark, difficult. And rather than the people repenting, their hearts get harder. That can wear you out. I can't imagine it. None of us can imagine fully what Jeremiah went through as an old covenant believer through those 40 years. And then coupled with that, sometimes people tried to kill him. His own family, close friends turned on him. He'd get beaten and humiliated for speaking the truth. And these things together, on several occasions at least, that are recorded in Jeremiah, brought him to a private breaking point. What's extraordinary, though, is he never broke in public. He never backed down once. He never watered down the message. He never changed the content of it so as to be politically expedient. And he would go and weep privately. In Jeremiah 13, he said, "If you won't listen, I'll go and weep bitterly for you." He's rightly known as the weeping prophet. In fact, there are texts that you don't know if it's God who says he's weeping, or Jeremiah who's weeping, or they're both weeping, or Jeremiah's tears reflect the pain that was in God's heart. You said, "Does God actually weep?" Well, it describes him as doing that. So it could easily just be a figure of speech to convey something, but it's conveying the pain he felt. Jeremiah felt it. Sometimes Jeremiah felt like, "This is the worst nightmare. This is the worst imaginable thing. Better that I died in the womb." And yet he never compromised the message. So many of us, I mean, we're pastors and we're afraid if we tell the truth, some of our tithing members will leave. Let's take a lesson from the prophet Jeremiah. Remember, call 1-800-278-9978 to get your free CD.
You are listening to a previously recorded broadcast.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us, Michael Brown, coming away from Hong Kong. I've been teaching 6 hours a day of Chinese leaders, the Book of Jeremiah. Not taking your calls today, but I do encourage every one of you to write down this number, 1-800-278-9978. Call to get a free CD, postage paid, of the most important message ever preached in my life. Not only will it just, you kind of be wowed by the Hebrew insight. I don't mean my teaching so amazing. I mean what the Hebrew is conveying, this truth based on the word acharit. But not only will you gain insight, it's insight that'll change your life. And, you know, sometimes you say, well, preacher, if you're so serious about this, or radio guy, if you're so serious about this, how come you're not giving it away? Well, we are. We are. Free CD, 1-800-278-9978. We're paying the postage. No strings attached. Those that can help with the donation or feel prompted to, awesome. We appreciate it. But everyone, take advantage of this. Get a copy of this message. Just call and ask for the free CD. Back to the book of Jeremiah. Insights in the life of the prophet. I mentioned in the last segment that sometimes he would come to the breaking point. And chapter 12 is one of those moments. And the context, I don't know if these happened in succession in terms of chronologically, but the way they're presented contextually, the end of the 11th chapter, there's a conspiracy in his family, and his hometown, and we see from the 12th chapter, his own family wanted to kill him, shut him up. He was raised in the city of Anatot. That's where he lived. We're not exactly sure where it was. Most scholars believe it was maybe about 3 miles northeast of Jerusalem. It was in the territory of Benjamin. So pretty close to Jerusalem, but still more small town than big city, Jerusalem. And even here, there was a conspiracy against him and people that he never would have expected. He was like innocent, like a lamb going to the slaughter. They wanted to kill him. All right. So that's what happens at the end of the 11th chapter. God reveals it to him. He escapes their plot. And now we get to the 12th chapter where Jeremiah has a problem with God's justice. And what seems to spur it is what just happened to him and all the wickedness that's there. And it doesn't seem that God is judging the wicked. He's just letting them go on. And it almost seems like he's encouraging them or blessing them because they're continuing to prosper, and their prosperity means horrific judgment for the nation as a whole. So he's at one of these crisis points in the 12th chapter. Now, King James, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments." It sounds very proper. It sounds very respectful. It doesn't sound challenging at all. The NLT, a mild paraphrase, "Lord, you always give me justice when I bring a case before you. So let me bring you this complaint. Why are the wicked so prosperous?" In other words, "Lord, you always stand up for me and fight for me and do the right thing. So help me out with this." That's really not what it's saying. And the New Jewish version, the Tanakh, is much, much better. "You will win, O Lord, if I make claim against you." In other words, I know you're going to be right. You're God. You're right. Who can argue with you? But I've got an issue. Now look at this. New Jewish version says, "Yet I shall present charges against you." That's exactly what the Hebrew says. That's exactly what I'm going to bring judgments. I'm pronouncing you guilty. I've got a problem. Oh, you're going to be right. You're going to come out right. I know it. You're God. But I've got a problem with the way you run your world. And this is what he's saying. It is a frontal challenge in the midst of being very grieved and very upset. He knows God is God. He's a man of worship and reverence. Jeremiah explicitly obeys God and doesn't back down. And yet, he's at this breaking point. You will win, O Lord, if I make claim against you. Yet I shall present charges against you. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are the workers of treachery at ease? Listen to what he continues to say. You've planted them and they've taken root. They spread, they even bear fruit. You're present in their mouths, but far from their thoughts. Lord, they're hypocrites, but it seems you're blessing them. How can this be? Yet you, Lord, have noted and observed me. You've tested my heart and found it with you. Drive them out like sheep to the slaughter. Prepare them for the day of slaying. Look, my own family, hometown, are trying to kill me. Do something about this. This is not right. You know I've been serving you faithfully. And look, Lord, there are bigger implications. Verse 4 of Jeremiah 12. How long must the land languish and the grass of all the countryside dry up? Must beasts and birds perish because of the evil of its inhabitants who say, he will not look upon our future. Oh, by the way, that's the Hebrew word acharit. He will not look upon our acharit. What's the significance of that? Get the free CD and you'll understand how the message about acharit, the final end, the final consequences, might just be the most important message you ever hear in your life. We're sending it out free. 1-800-278-9978. Call and allow us to bless you with this CD that'll rock your world and might just change your life. All right. So Jeremiah's saying, you know, Lord, the whole country's suffering because you're not judging the wicked quickly enough. And look, I'm eyewitness to it. I've been serving you faithfully, and my own family is ready to kill me. It's not right, Lord. It's not right. And what does God say to him? What's God's response? Hey, Jeremiah, hey, I know. I understand, son. You know, look, I care about you. It hurts me that you're hurting. The fact that you're hurting hurts me, and you want to take a break? How about just like 6 months and no negative prophecies and just kind of enjoy life and get your strength back, son? I know it's been right. Now, I know God's tender and compassionate. The word witnesses to that in the Old Testament and the New Testament, but that's not what God says to Jeremiah. Verse 5, this is God's answer to the prophet in his moment of grief. If you race with the foot runners and they exhaust you, how then can you compete with horses? If you are secure only in a tranquil land, how will you fare in the jungle of the Jordan? Jeremiah, what are you going to do when it gets tough? What are you going to do when there's real persecution? If you can't make it in the small town of Anatot, how in the world are you going to make it in the big city of Jerusalem? If a little flack from your own family wears you out, and you're going to question the way I run my world just because you don't see immediate justice in your little neck of the woods, how are you going to make it in Jerusalem with the religious establishment and the political establishment? You say, what kind of answer is that? God knows just what we need. God actually goes on sympathetically as the chapter goes on. Even your kinsmen in your father's house, even they're treacherous toward you. They cry after you as a mob. Do not believe them when they speak cordially to you. God says, hey, Jeremiah, careful, careful. They're out to get you. And then God says, I've abandoned my house. I've deserted my possession. I've given over my dearly beloved into the hands of her enemies. And I understand what it's like to have these tensions in the family. I've had to give my own house over because my own people were treacherous towards me. And I've had to give them over to judgment. But God doesn't start with sympathy for Jeremiah. And this happens again in the 15th chapter where Jeremiah pours his heart out to the Lord and says, don't disappoint me, Lord. Don't be like some spring of water that you come when you're thirsty and it's not there, it's all dried up. I can take the other stuff, but you got to be there for me, Lord. Don't let me down. I've been faithful. And God says to me, no, Jeremiah, if you repent, I can use you. I can still use you. It's at a moment when Jeremiah is thinking, I don't want to be used. And God said, you know, if you repent and speak worthy words, I'll use you. And hey, Jeremiah, then he just say, I'm going to deliver you. Everybody's coming against you, but I'm going to deliver you. About 30 years ago, I was praying I remember where I was, the bedroom of our home on Long Island. And I had a series of meetings set up. Now I look at them as so small, I wouldn't even register on my calendar. But they seemed big then and important. And my salary at the Bible school where I taught was not sufficient to meet our needs, pay our bills, which were modest. So traveling, preaching would help supplement that as offerings were received for our ministry. And it didn't look like the meetings were going to happen or canceled or what's going to happen. And I was just saying, Lord, what about this? And I'm feeling pressure and about this and what about that? And the Lord spoke to me. Loving words, but firm. Shut up and grow up. Quit being a boy. Act like a man. And boy, those words energized me with life. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm not going to be a baby. I'm not going to gripe. I'm not going to, what about, Lord? Is it? I'm going to be a man. I'm your servant. I'm your son. Thank you, Lord. Those were energizing and invigorating for me. And that's how it was with the prophet Jeremiah. God knew just what he needed and spoke that word to him. And it gave him courage to go on. All right, 1-800-278-9978. Call now for your free CD. 1-800-278-9978.
You are listening to a previously recorded broadcast.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I am here in Hong Kong, halfway through, well, just about halfway through the teaching time with these precious students from mainland China. Thank you for praying. I've been blessed. I've been energized. 13-hour time differential, 30 hours of travel to get here, and I've been doing fine. I've had some good workouts as well and focused teaching and obviously just having a blast doing radio. So thank you so much for being part of this week with me, for carrying me in prayer. I posted a couple of pictures on Facebook of some eateries right outside of the hotel where I'm staying. One of them, I guess it's a fish restaurant or something, but they just got the tank with the fish and some pretty weird-looking stuff. No, I haven't eaten there. Listen, by God's grace, I'm kind of fearless when it comes to preaching, and I've been in a number of situations where I was told my life would be threatened if I got up and spoke. I've been in places where they've had to have police protection, and really, by God's grace, I just go for it. I obey the Lord. I've got courage. I've just got faith, and the threats really encourage me to preach all the more boldly. But I'm a wimp when it comes to different kinds of food. So I am not planning on experimenting at some of these restaurants. Thank you. No. But go on Facebook, ask Dr. Brown, AskDR Brown on Facebook, and check out some of the pictures. I'd love to post pictures of all the students, but that's not a wise thing to do, so won't be doing that, but they are precious folks. I've got 44 in my class. I'm going through the book of Jeremiah, 20 chapters in so far, and no, not on the radio, in the class here, but I'm just pulling out a few select insights and thoughts from the book of Jeremiah, and I want to throw out one last insight and thought from Jeremiah. I may come back to a few more later in the week. I'm not sure yet. But this last segment of the day, let me present something to you. Here's a spiritual truth. You can't give what you don't have. You can't give what you don't have. I've had to take the taxi from the hotel to the seminary, and I've got a few hundred Hong Kong dollars. They're like 7 or 8 Hong Kong dollars to an American dollar. I've got it. Let's say I had $500 here. What's so like 60 or maybe $70 American? I can't give you 10,000 Hong Kong dollars or a million Hong Kong dollars because I don't have that. I'm looking in my hand at the Hong Kong money. I've only got like 400 or 500 Hong Kong dollars. I can't give what I don't have. It's the same thing spiritually. Sometimes we have this mindset, especially in the charismatic Pentecostal circles, that we can just give away gifts and anointing that we don't have. And especially in charismatic circles, but a lot of Christians hold to this, the notion of the double portion, that Elisha asked Elijah for a double portion of his spirit, and by getting a double portion, that he had twice what Elijah had. Now, he does perform twice the miracles that Elijah did, but there's no way that you could look at him as twice the prophet Elijah was, especially in the history of Israel and going on into the New Testament. Elijah is the figure that we remember much more prominently. But more importantly, you can't give twice what you have. You can't do that. Otherwise, look, I lay hands on you to give you a double portion of what I have, and then you lay hands on the next person to give them a double portion of what you have, and then they lay hands on the next person, they've already got 16 times what I had. Obviously, it doesn't work like that. And the Hebrew for double portion is literally two-thirds. That's what it means. And it comes from the concept in the book of Deuteronomy, if a man has two sons, that the first son gets a double portion compared to the second son. So if you have two sons, instead of splitting the inheritance 50-50, the first son gets a double portion. So you divide it into three shares. The first son gets two shares. The second son gets one. The first son gets twice what the second son does. He gets a double portion. So you can't give what you don't have. Elisha was saying, I want a double portion. I want twice what the other disciples are going to get. I want the share of the firstborn. Why do I say that in the context of Jeremiah? Jeremiah was gripped and overwhelmed by the word of the Lord. Jeremiah was broken and shattered and moved and pushed and compelled by the word of the Lord. Jeremiah 23:29, God says, isn't my word like fire and like a hammer, an anvil that shatters the rock in pieces? And then Jeremiah 5, God says, my words in your mouth will be like fire. And when Jeremiah tried to hold back the word, it was too difficult, just too much resistance, opposition as he brought the word over and over, resistance, hatred, who were you, and violence, destruction, judgments coming, it's too much. He tried to hold it back. The classic verse in chapter 20, verse 9, he said, but his word, my heart was like fire shut up in my bones. I tried to hold it back. I couldn't. Jeremiah was impacted by God, and the fire that burned in him burned when he spoke it. To the degree that you and I are impacted, we can impact others. I want to encourage you not to be a superficial follower of Jesus. I want to encourage you, in particular, if you're a pastor, a teacher, a leader, a preacher, if you're someone who brings the message, to the extent you're casual with it, people will be casual with it. To the extent it's of intellectual and theological interest to you, but not of convictional interest, to that extent, that's the impact it's going to have on others. We are to reproduce who we are. Someone said, you teach what you know, but you reproduce who you are. How deep are you in God? How much does the fire burn in you? How deep is God's love in you? How deep is the burden of the Lord in you? If you feel superficial and shallow, and many times in my life I have, Lord, deepen me. Lord, help me to carry your heart in a deeper way. Get alone with God. Meditate on his word and say, Lord, break my heart with the things that break your heart. Shatter my indifference. Help me to feel as you feel that I can be your ambassador. All right, friends, all this week, we've never done this before, but I wanted to do something special from Hong Kong. We're giving away on CD the most important message I've ever preached in my life that could literally be the difference between life and death in your own life, and that will strengthen you to live for God. It's based on one Hebrew word, acharit, and it's yours free. Just call this number, 1-800-278-9978. If you can help with a donation, wonderful, but many of you can't, get it for free. Please, I'm asking you to. I want to send it to you for free. 1-800-278-9978. All of you who've never ordered our resources or given to our ministry, let us bless you and send this to you. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, your courage, your strength, your fortitude, your backbone comes from God. If you are weak, let Him be the strength of your life.